it's been quite a week, hasn't it? In fact, it's been an interesting summer. As we kind of worked our way out of spring into summer and kind of looked at the world around us, just, you know, looking at the Post or, you know, wherever you get your news, it's kind of rough, right? In fact, we should not be surprised, although if you're like me, you probably were like, oh, I hope it doesn't happen. Oh, man, this could be really, oh, goodness gracious. But then, you know, just flip on the TV, pick up, you know, your news source, and there's some tough stuff, right? And in some ways, we probably shouldn't be surprised. Some of this we have seen coming, right? So there's, if you look at where politics are now, it's frightening, right? And no matter where you find yourself on the, you know, the ideological perspective, you know, it's really kind of not hard to look at, you know, what's going on there and go, oh, oh. Look at our weather. I mean, the amount of heat that we have experienced, and we've experienced, I don't know if you know, would agree with me, but we've experienced relatively less heat than the rest of the country has, right? So it's been hard to kind of hear, it's been hard to kind of like be outside, of course, but parts of the Midwest and parts of, you know, this has been horrible. Look at the wars that we have going on. I mean, in this last week, there have been three schools bombed in Gaza. So wherever you would see people in terms of the political situation there, there are children that have died. I heard a young man in his 20s who was seeking shelter in the last school that was bombed in Gaza, a UN school. And he saw children playing just shortly before that. They were outside, the bombs came, and he found himself collecting parts of their bodies so that they could be buried whole. Okay, it's hard. We are confronted with some really difficult times, and it's, you know, it's easy to say, oh, that's biblical, right? Oh, man, here it comes. What we do and how we are in this life makes a difference. As much as we are confronted with the difficult realities around us, we also carry our own reality into the world, into its difficulty, into its place of need, into its place of hopefulness even, right? So what we do here on Sunday and what we do as a matter of our faith life in every other day of the week, it matters, and it carries something important. So what you're doing now, besides listening to some old boring dude, but what you're doing now in terms of worshiping God and being open to being formed is hugely important, because it's scary, right? So these last few weeks, we have been going through a series about the Lord's Prayer. Now, as you may recall, if you've been here a bit, we are using the Luke version of the Lord's Prayer. The typical version that we learned in vacation Bible school and in Sunday schools a long time ago, or maybe you're learning this now, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, all that kind of, the thys sort of throw people. In fact, you know, it's interesting to hear someone who is learning English and how they hit the thy and thou, and it blows their mind, you know. It's almost worth kind of like just making sure that we're using contemporary language, but that's a whole other issue. We've learned this language because it's important. Our Lord taught it to us, but he actually has, there are two different versions of it. There's a version that is in the Gospel of Luke, which is what we just heard, that is much more focused. And so these last few weeks, and today we end that series, these last few weeks we have been talking about what is it that we find in these words from Luke, from the Lord's Prayer. The first Sunday we talked about the idea of fatherhood. And then the following Sunday we talked about holiness, and we had baptisms that day, and we commissioned an ASP team, and we had the celebration of an ordination. So we talked about holiness as part of the life of a person of faith. And last week we talked about kingdom, with irony, of course, because we threw off a kingdom with the 4th of July, 1776. And so here we find ourselves with what's left. Okay, this is the what's left of the prayer portion of this series. So remember that there are things that are particularly asked for in prayer. I mean, that's part of what prayer is. Part of prayer is to say, God, you're amazing, and to kind of recognize the goodness and power of God. Part of prayer is also to say, I messed up. That's my least favorite part of the prayer. You know, it's like, can we skip that part? Would that be all right? Because, oh gosh, I messed it up again. Because I have to kind of, you know, I have to talk to God about that, but also confront myself, confront my brokenness, confront my unholiness and all that, right? And then another part of prayer is to say, okay, you know, your will be done, right? Not my will, because if it was my will that was done, it would be a mess, right? Can you imagine the kind of mess I would make if it was just purely, you know, what Bert wanted or what you wanted? You know, bluegrass Sunday every Sunday. Right. You know, one of those big organs like they have at the Mormon Tabernacle that makes the walls shake, you know. Or fill in the blank, right? My will be done. Or. And then one of the things that we do in prayer is we say, please. Sometimes it's a prayer for ourselves. Sometimes it's a prayer for the needs of our family or community or world. Please help me heal. Please help me make it through this surgery. Please help me, you know, through the day. Please help me with this audit. Please help me at my work. Please help me with this person that is so difficult and hateful and angry. Please. So Jesus says, I want you to pray. He says, remember these things. I want you to pray Father and Holy and make this kingdom come to be. And then he says, I want you to remember three things for your prayers, all right? And so he says, thank you for our daily bread. Please give us this day our daily bread, right? Which is more than just bread, frankly. You know, there's a sandwich that comes with the bread, right? So, lame joke, sorry. But it is a please provide for us that thing that sustains us. The food, the life-giving things that sustain us. So he says, pray for your food in thanksgiving and in hope that it will be provided for you. And then he says, pray for forgiveness. Pray about your forgiveness and pray for forgiveness. Now remember that in the Matthew version and kind of in our version, in Luke as well, we hear this, and forgive us our trespasses, right? I always imagine like a no trespassing sign when that phrase comes up. But you know, it's talking about those transgressions, those sins, those broken places, those bad places where we come up in a person's, in our own relationship and whap the person. Thank you for being here, by the way. He's my foil in all this. But when I come up and, you know, kind of break faith with you, or I come over here and start whispering about you, which is a way of breaking faith. Did you see the way that he wore his shirt today? Oh my goodness. I like your shirt. You see what I'm saying? So pray for what sustains you, and pray for how you can find forgiveness for what you have done and how you can give forgiveness. Right? It's a package. Please forgive me and help me to forgive others. Ooh, that one's a tight one, doesn't it? Doesn't that kind of get you sometimes? And then there is, so there's food, and then there's forgiveness, and then it says, lead us not into temptation, right? And protect us from temptation, which is not a band from the 60s. Some of you got that joke, that's great. But you know what I mean by temptation, right? The thing that speaks to us, that says, you're better and you need me. Oh, if we would, oh, it always sounds like that. Oh, come on. Oh, don't tempt me. I'm just saying, that's what it sounds like. So it's food and forgiveness and faithfulness. Help us to be faithful. Help us to stick with it. Help us to not give in to that messed up way of life that seems so rational and so good and what I deserve and the way it should be and the way I was taught that it should be and the way my mama said it would be if I was only a good boy or girl. Okay? Jesus says, pray for those things. What sustains you, what keeps you going, what is a forgiven relationship, and what is faithfulness in your life. It says that. Now, in this particular section, with all the, you know, I think you would agree with me as we have kind of processed this, that some of that is, you know, beautiful, but some of it is hard. Some of it seems easy at times, and some of it's like, don't ask me to do that. Don't do that. But Jesus is saying this. He's inviting us to this prayer within the idea that this is how we live. He doesn't say, these are the magic words to say once. He says, when you pray, here's how to do it. Meaning that this is a work in progress. This is a hard hat zone. This is a place in which there is still a need to continually deal with things. All right? And then, so he is telling this story. He is telling us how to pray because his disciples said, how do we do this? And Jesus gives it to them. And then he says this. He tells them a parable just so that they don't give up, because what he has said is challenging, just as we've processed. He doesn't want them to give up. What he says to them is this. If you keep reading in Luke, he also said to them, imagine that one of you has a friend, and you go to that friend in the middle of the night. Imagine saying, friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. You know, hospitality is a big deal. And so here is this friend showing up at the door. Hey, good to see you. Sorry to be so late. You know, you want to take care of your friend. So imagine that. And imagine further that he goes that he answers from within the house, and he says, "Don't bother me." Right? He goes to a friend. He says, my friend has shown up in the middle of the night, and I have nothing to say before him." And the person that is responding says, "Go away. Leave me alone. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything." Imagine that. It's more than just a cup of sugar in the afternoon. It is, "I need you to help me do the right thing." And the friend says, "Nope, not doing it." Jesus says, "I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he would get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness." Right? So maybe it is the back and forth that ensues. Now, I grew up in a small town. My mama said, if someone says no, you just kind of work with it and that sort of thing. But what Jesus is saying, no, he keeps at it. "Hey, come on, I need something for my friend. You know you have it. You're not saying I don't have it. You're saying you're too lazy to get up out of bed and come down here and help me. I thought we were friends. Come on, we can do better than that." Do you see what I'm saying? Now, that might not be easy to kind of muster, but what Jesus is saying is you have to keep after God in this way, with these things. Keep asking. Brashness is not a small thing. It is actually like shamelessness. I'm just going to keep going. This is told in a slightly different way, but in the same point in a different gospel about a widow who comes to the judge demanding justice. He says, "I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness." Don't give up. Jesus says, "And I tell you, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock at the door, and it will be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door is open." Maybe it's not open the way we want. Maybe it's not open in quite the way that we would expect it to. The matter, however, is that you do not give up on the relationship with God, so you stop talking, you stop believing, you stop opening up what is possible there. Even if it seems hard, even if it seems stupid or impossible, you still keep knocking. You still follow the relationship with God and take God seriously in doing so. It's people that walk off and go, they're not taking God seriously. To fuss with God is to take God seriously. Jesus says, "Which father among you would give a snake to your child if the child asked for a fish?" Now, do you ask for fish? He's like, "Oh, you know, don't leave me alone." You like fish, right? So if you really wanted a fish, and you said to mom and dad, "Hey, mom, dad, could I have a fish? Could I have fish sticks? Could I have fish sticks for dinner?" And they gave you a snake and said, what kind of low, dong, dirty parents do you have? I'm not making this up. Jesus is saying, "Which father among you would give a snake to your child if they asked for a fish? If a child asked for an egg, what father would give the child a scorpion? If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you who ask of it? Maybe we give up too soon. Maybe we are not engaged in the kind of prayer that fusses with God in such a way that takes God very seriously. Now, I can't answer for God. I am not in the complaints department. Well, I guess maybe I am in the complaints department. I always used to say that I was in sales and service, you know. I don't know how it all works and how God does the things that God does. But I do know and I do trust that there's a God who loves us, who believes in you, believes in your capacity to do and to change and to grow into what is possible. And it's our job to keep asking. Or at least that's what Jesus says. So as we look at our world, as we look at the brokenness in front of us, as we look at this campaign versus that campaign, as we try to make sense of what is happening with our weather, what is happening with our environment, what is happening with our economy, what is happening with my wallet, right? Keep asking for what sustains, for a forgiven relationship, and for the faithfulness to hold on to God in the storm or in the pretty days that are just hot. So, friends, I say all this to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.